The focus continues with a spotlight on Spoon River Anthology, to be seen in Medford for this and the next two weekends. You may know the play. It's stories told by dead people in the cemetery. This version is actually a benefit for a cemetery, the historic Jacksonville Cemetery. Let's hear more about the play and the music included in this version. David Gordon is the musical director for this production by the Madrone Theater Company. David,
that's
welcome
right
to The Exchange.
It's nice to be here. JPR is my only radio entertainment, so I feel like I've come home here, sitting here and chatting with you today.
Well, welcome home. Good
thank
to have you.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
I appreciate you waiting, too, because that was quite a cup
and
a half
of flavor.
Well,
you know, there's so much going on in this region, and it's just a delightful area to be in. Such a variety of different entertainments.
It truly is that. Everything from the Beatles to haunted houses.
Yeah.
We had all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah.
So this is kind of novel, using a Spoon River Anthology for a cemetery fundraiser. Talk about how that came about.
Well, the Spoon River Anthology has been a favorite for kind of unusual theater groups over the years. And we decided this year to put this show on to benefit the Meet the Pioneers program at the amazing historic Jacksonville Cemetery, which is taking the year off. So we're there instead of that. And instead of historical characters being reenacted in a real cemetery, we are depicting fictional characters from a fictional town and a fictional cemetery in this amazing, amazing work. It actually did not start out as a play. It's a book of prose poems.
Mm-hmm.
And but it lends itself so beautifully to dramatic interpretation.
And it really comes from Edgar Lee Masters, I understand, just writing about about people from his part of the rivers
here's
of Illinois.
Here's an interesting fellow. He was born 3 years after the end of the Civil War in 1868. He died 5 years after World War II in 1850. Think of that time span. This is a man who knew people who worked with Abraham Lincoln. He grew up in two small towns in western Illinois. And 25 years later, he wrote this collection of fictional epitaphs because he felt that the real lives of American villagers were not being depicted. They were being depicted in a kind of genteel and glossy way. And he wanted to show that they had the same struggles, the same hopes and dreams and despairs as everyone else across the country. And so he put together these epitaphs of fictional people who stand in before us and tell us briefly about their lives, and they have no reason to prevaricate or lie or make anything up. Because they're dead. Yeah.
And he got quite a reaction, I understand, too, when he put it out there the first
time. It was shocking, because up until 1915, the general late Victorian fictional depiction and poetic depiction of Americans was kind of genteel. And the grittiness of actual life was glossed over. Edgar Lee Masters was not trying to bring these people down. He was trying to actually elevate them by showing that they had to go through the same kind of sometimes desperate struggles that everyone else did in the world, that the American village was really a microcosm of American society.
Wow. And so talk about including music in this, because Spoon River Anthology is usually not a musical.
It's not a musical, no. And so Ron Danko, who's the mastermind of this and who's directing it, came to me in March because I'm doing a series at the Jacksonville Library that will start up again in January called Pioneer History and Stories and Songs, where I string together actual historical stories and songs that illustrate them and so forth from the pioneer era. He came to me in March and said, I want to do Spoon River, and I can't do it without you. I can't do it without music. I didn't know much about Spoon River Anthology at that point. I knew about it. I sort of knew the name of it. And I thought, is it like Our Town or something? It was, so, you know, so
they do kind of get crossed over, Spoon River Anthology and Our Town.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I set my sights very early on creating a musical soundscape for this show that consists entirely of music that the fictional people would actually have known. So except for one song that I've written myself to open and close the show, all the music that's heard in the show was published before 1915. And it creates this background. Sometimes it's a fragment of a song, sometimes just a verse and a chorus, sometimes an instrumental behind something that somebody's saying. A total of 31 different songs are represented in this show. And as I say, all of them but one are songs that the actual people, if they had been real people, would actually have known.
Can you give us a little flavor of what
you do? Absolutely. This is the way the show starts. We're in a small what I call a black box theater. It's the RCC Performance Hall on 8th Street, right downtown in Medford. It's a small hall. Nobody's more than 25 feet from the action. The lights go out. I creep onto my spot on the stage. And as the lights on me come up, this is what we hear. Oh, the breeze is the fragrance of sweet daffodils. The river meanders through meadows and hills. These scenes never leave me wherever I roam. Beloved Spoon River, you're calling me home. Home, home. Beloved Spoon River, you're calling me home. The face of a neighbor, the smile of a friend. The river of memories flows without end. My memories are with me wherever I roam. Beloved Spoon River, you're calling me home. Home, home. Beloved Spoon River, you're calling. Where are Elmer and Herman and Bert and Tom and Charlie? The strong of will, the weak of arm, the clown, the boozer, the fighter, all are sleeping on the hill. That's the way the show begins. As I sing, the cast come on in the dark carrying lanterns, and they all join with me in the recitation of what is actually Edgar Lee Masters' introduction to his book. They're all sleeping on the hill.
The book is Spoon River Anthology. Yeah. The performer, David Gordon, who is with the Madrone Theater Company and the musical director for this production of Spoon River Anthology, which is going on in Medford for this and the next two weekends at the Rogue Community College Performance Space downtown. And it is a benefit for the Friends of the Historic Jacksonville Cemetery. Mm-hmm. As you surveyed the musical landscape, and you were trying to go, I noticed, from 1840 to 1910, what trends did you notice? I wonder if there's anything that really leaped out at you as you...
The earlier songs are very, very naive. Songs like Down in the Valley, Long, Long Ago... Mm-hmm. Seeing Sweet Nellie Home, When Johnny Comes Marching Home, Nearer My God to Thee. These are all, the earlier songs are very naive and very sweet. They become a little more gnarly as you move towards the end of the 19th century. You start having songs like Lips That Touch Liquor Shall Never Touch Mine from the first big temperance movement in the 70s. And what I find is that... many times we have made the songs more complicated than they originally were.
Really?
For example, you have something like Life's Railway to Heaven. It was recorded by Patsy Cline in 1959, sounding like this. Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer so brave. Now, that's what Patsy Cline did in a Nashville recording studio, or a Memphis recording studio. In 1891, when the song was published as a Methodist church song, it sounded like this. Life is like a mountain railway with an engineer so brave. You must make each run successful from the cradle to the grave. Quite a difference.
Was that waltz beat very popular then?
Among other things? Yeah. And it was, they were published, all the music that I'm doing, I have original sheet music for. There's an incredible amount of sheet music available online in various university consortiums and sheet music collections. And the songs were simple. They were designed to be played by people with modest skills at the piano or at the guitar. Many of them were published in guitar arrangements. Women mostly played guitar back in those days. Mm-hmm. It was just becoming a man's instrument, a parlor guitar. And I went through hundreds and hundreds of songs, finding songs that would comment on the characters, comment on the situations, introduce them, enhance the mood, create a continuity of music. So it's a soundtrack. I'm on stage for the entire show. Lots of times I'm playing softly behind something that someone else is saying. It's an assignment I've never had before.
Really?
It's something entirely different from anything I've ever done.
Huh. Well, it sounds fun, though.
It's way fun.
You really got into this.
It's been a huge amount of work, but I've been at every ensemble rehearsal, so I don't think of myself as the accompanist. I'm the seventh guy. I'm the seventh member of the cast, and I'm actually the only one who's on stage for the whole show.
Lucky you. So I'm curious to know this, David Gordon. The period 1840 to 1910, some of that is pre-recording, and some of is in the recording era. And
yes.
I wonder how much difference you noticed among the songs that were done in the era when recordings were available, and you no longer had to buy sheet music to hear them.
The recordings started amazingly early. Again, if you're an online denizen like I am, you can find all sorts of recordings from pre-1900, mm-hmm. old cylinder recordings. What I find is that we tend to think of the Victorian singers as very soupy and melodramatic and, and scoopy and all. And the clarity of the singing is striking. They sang beautifully. I have recordings of people who would have been alive when the characters in Spoon River were alive. And they sang beautifully. And clearly, they stuck to what was originally the sheet music, and it was later that the folk process took over and created versions that we have today.
So, where's the proceeds going to go to from this Spoon River anthology? They're going to help fix up the historic
right.
or maintain
the Jacksonville Cemetery is an amazing historical document. The graves go back to the 1850s. And it's part of the phenomenal history of that little town. And it takes a lot of maintenance and upkeep, a lot of work, a lot of volunteer work, and we hope that the proceeds from our performances will help that cemetery to survive and thrive.
David Gordon is part of the ensemble for Spoon River Anthology this weekend and the next two weekends at Rogue Community College's downtown performance space in Medford as a benefit for Jacksonville's Historic Cemetery Association. Thanks so much for joining us in the exchange.
It's really nice to be here, Jeff.
As I said, welcome home to JPR.
Thanks a lot.